Hi, my name's Kirsten, and I'm on the pastoral team here at Living Waters. I wanted to wish you a happy Easter. We celebrated that just 2 weeks ago. Do you remember? Sometimes we just celebrate on the day of and we move on. But this year, we wanted to take a couple weeks to let the transformative new life of Easter sink in. We wanted to spend some time talking about how Jesus' death and resurrection makes our lives, makes us different, makes us new. This is how Paul puts it in his second letter to the Corinthians. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Let's talk about new. I don't know if you ever get distracted by video shorts on your phone that have nothing to do with your life, but I do. Some of the more heartwarming ones that I have seen are of people either seeing color or hearing for the first time. Have you guys ever seen those? Some of them are either of children or adults putting on glasses that correct their color blindness. When they put on the glasses, you can see them just staring at the trees, at the flowers, at the sky. As a person who can see color, I just imagine what it would be like for the first time to not just imagine, but to really know yellow or to really know blue. The sweetest videos, I think, though, are of babies who get hearing aids and they're able to hear their parents for the first time. The babies respond with such obvious emotion, this soft, joyful tearfulness, because they finally get to hear their mom. Even the adults who see color for the first time usually cry because they're so overwhelmed by the newness of it all. I keep thinking of these videos when I think of Jesus' followers post-resurrection. And really, when I think of all that followed over the next 20 to 50 years, as the number of Jesus' followers multiplied, as communities of Christians spread out from Jerusalem in waves, all in all directions, those first followers and those who received the good news of Jesus grappled with the newness of it all. Jesus' death and resurrection, along with the gift of the Holy Spirit, truly changed everything. Suddenly, their picture of God and what he wanted for them was different. They began to see each other differently, and this led to radical changes in how they treated one another. That's why there's so much instruction in the letters that Paul wrote to the early churches. There was just so much new for these people to figure out. As these Jesus followers, led by the Spirit, began to live in light of the resurrection, they began to live differently than the people around them. These Jesus followers began to ignore distinctions of class, of race, and sex. They began caring for people who had been abandoned by society. They began to serve one another differently because of how they had been served by Jesus. New ways of living, new ways of seeing, new ways of loving. I think that all this new is what was so hopeful and compelling about these new faith communities. But wow, it called for a lot of change, a lot of choosing to live in a new way, newer, different than what they had before. Of course, we are not in the same space as those early Christians in the first century. Some of us might be. You might have found yourself here with very little understanding of who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. And if you are, you might have an advantage over the rest of us. The rest of us feel like the things Jesus is talking about are not new, because we've been around all this Jesus stuff for so long. Some of us have been in church since we ourselves were babies. I know I was. But here's the challenge for those of us who are kind of lifers. We think this stuff isn't new, but it actually is. Sure, we may know a lot of what Paul says in his letters. We may know a lot about the story of Jesus. We might be able to quote things that Jesus says. But we can't forget how new all of this is because of our natural tendencies as broken human beings. You know, we live in a culture that has undeniably been shaped by the newness of Jesus. If you want to learn more about this, look at some of the resources that I've referenced in the teaching notes for today. For now, let me just say that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection irrevocably changed how the world saw people. Like ripples of water, the impact of Jesus changed the world. Because of Jesus, our culture believes, or at least says it believes, that each human being has worth, regardless of their beauty or their productivity. Because of Jesus, we see selfless service as a noble and genuine virtue. It's Jesus that has led to our elevation of women and our condemnation of racism and slavery. Because of Jesus, we say we value treating all people with dignity, kindness, gentleness, and care. But the thing about our culture is that it has forgotten where these values come from and tends to undermine how radically these values fly in the face of humanity's inherent selfishness and fear. And so our culture's adherence to this value of people is uneven, often superficial. Think about political correctness. This is a list of things our culture has, things that we say or do or don't say and don't do that is rooted in the idea of making sure we value all people. But really, it functions as a kind of thin veneer. Peel it back, and all of our ugliness is still there. Our racism, our fear and mistrust of the other, our anger, our protection of who we are and what we have. To really treat each person as if they have worth goes radically against the grain and is really only possible with the Holy Spirit's help. Our danger as God's people is to follow the pattern of our culture, to give the veneer when in reality, what we are called to do and be goes much, much deeper. To live out this newness at only surface level is kind of like what Paul describes in 2 Timothy when he says that people in the last days will have a form of godliness, but will deny its power. To be a new creation is to be transformed in the deepest places, not just in our actions, but in what and who we love. You know how water always flows to the lowest point? We're a bit like that. We have human tendencies towards certain things. The newness that we are invited into, this post-resurrection Easter life that Jesus made possible for us, goes against the grain of that brokenness. So even if we've known Jesus for 80 years, we still need the Holy Spirit to make us like those babies so we can hear the words of newness again. We need the Spirit to put his glasses on us so we can see all the colors, all the beauty of who God is and of what it means to be a new creation in his kingdom. Last week, we started this conversation by talking about our values. Now, this might seem disconnected from this post-Easter exploration of what it means to be new creation people, but it's actually a great place for us to land. One of the questions that Luke asked last week was, what does being a new creation family feel like? Our core values are meant to help us keep this question in front of us. Have you ever noticed that our core values are not so much doing statements as they are being statements? Look at them. Authenticity, community, generosity, growing, recognizing, and releasing. These are not activities or tasks. They're a list of postures that describe how or why we do the activities or tasks that are a part of our life together. What does a new creation family feel like? It feels authentic and honest. It feels like a family where everyone, in all their messiness, is welcome at the table. It feels like a place where the generosity of God spills over in blessing to both our community and our neighborhood. It feels like a place of transformation where everyone is becoming more like Jesus, like plants all growing up toward the light. And it feels like a place of life, creativity, and discovery with everyone engaged in what God is doing in the world. And as it says in the introduction to our values, the center point of all this is Jesus. We follow him. We allow his word to shape us, and we allow his spirit to empower us. So, when we talk about our values, we're just trying to put a bit of language to the newness that the spirit is birthing within us, our way of trying to encapsulate what this newness looks like for Living Waters. So, let's look a little more deeply at how this newness is expressed in two of these values. Generosity and growing. Let's talk about generosity first. We value generosity because Jesus is generous. What do you feel like you don't have enough of? Money? Time? Energy? Love? When we fear that we don't have enough, generosity goes against the grain. It's counterintuitive, actually, to give something away that you think you will need. Do we live out this value always, or only when we have extra? Only when it's comfortable? What does it mean to reflect the generosity of Jesus when we often feel afraid that we ourselves will not have enough? The world has always been a place filled with scarcity. People often have not had enough of what they needed, whether it's something tangible or intangible. And because of that, people tend to grab for what they need at the expense of others. The world is usually a place of constant scramble to get and keep the resources that we need, even if it costs other people. Our natural tendency is to think of ourselves first, protecting our family, our future, our security. The fear of not having enough drives and compels the world. As new creation people, however, we see things differently. We see the scarcity around us differently because we remember two things: the generosity of Jesus and the value of others. These two truths have historically changed the way Christians have seen the world. They have caused them to see the scarcity around them as needs that God wants to meet. Because the beautiful thing about being a new creation is that your fellow human being is no longer your enemy, no longer someone you're competing with. Instead, we are all needy people bringing our needs to a generous God. Jesus' followers, these new creation people, began living in a way that reflected his generosity, and it led them to live in a way that was completely different than the people around them. I can only imagine what it would have been like for people, to encounter the generosity of Jesus for the first time through his followers. Imagine for a moment that you are a woman living in first century Ephesus. You and your husband, like most of the people in the city, barely have enough money to feed your family. This past week, one of your children has been deathly ill, and you are afraid for his life. You don't have enough money to buy food for the day, but your husband still goes to buy a sacrifice to the appropriate god, because only if the gods are appeased will they possibly heal your son. Imagine then, meeting followers of Jesus that have been sharing in the city. One of them goes to pray for your son, asking for nothing, of course, and your son is healed. Amazed, grateful, and curious, you accept the invitation of one of these Jesus followers to join them for a meal. When you arrive, you're shocked to see very wealthy and very poor people sitting together to eat a meal more substantial than anything you've seen in months. Apparently, those who are well off make sure that there is enough. You feel uncomfortable as you see slaves not serving their masters, but sitting next to them. You feel even more awkward when the seat you're invited to take is next to a woman of much higher standing in the community and income than you. This woman works hard during the meal to befriend you, even inviting you to her home later that week. After dinner, a Jew named Paul talks about Jesus, about the free gift of his forgiveness, given without exception, expectation, or demand. He talks about how this Jesus served others like a slave, even though he was a god. Or no, not a god, Paul explains, but the God, the only God, greater than Zeus even, because he made absolutely everything. He explains that Jesus does not demand a sacrifice because he himself became our sacrifice. Imagine trying to wrap your mind around the generosity of God as revealed through Jesus. The Holy Spirit is growing generous hearts in us, and that generosity grows in us as we respond to the Spirit's nudges and chooses to be generous. And when we do that, we experience the beauty, life, and freedom of who we truly are, new creatures. Being generous, like Jesus, is challenging, but thankfully, we are encouraged and empowered by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, in fact. And we are encouraged and led by each other. I know that I feel more able to be generous because of all of you. Our corporate experience of generosity reminds me of who I am and of who I want to be. When I see the faithful giving of our community, when I experience the generous way in which so many of you love and serve, I see the generosity of Jesus, and I want to step into that freedom, that life. So, generosity is something we do as new creation people. We look for ways to bless. We give of who we are, trusting in his care and protection of us. We are generous with each other and with the hurting world that surrounds us, because that's the kind of God Jesus is, generous in every way. Let's talk about growing. We value growing because we want to be more like Jesus. You know, when you're a kid, you're in this constant state of physical growth. Every year, you're a bigger size than you were last year. You need bigger shoes, you need longer pants. Every year, your mom looks a little bit shorter because you keep getting taller until you stop growing. That point of stopping growing is never supposed to come when you're a Jesus follower. Kids grow up and stop growing physically because they've matured. They've become an adult physically. But in our walk with Jesus, we never fully mature. To follow Jesus is to be in a constant place of growing, because the new creation life of Jesus is always breaking into our lives, making us more like him. This process of our emotions, thoughts, and actions This is a process of our emotions, thoughts, and actions catching up with the new identity that we're given when we meet Jesus. Paul's words in 2 Corinthians that we read earlier describe something that has already happened. Therefore, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Has come, has gone, is here. Paul is describing something that has already happened to us. Our identity has been changed. Once we are in Christ, we are no longer who we have been. But the transformation of our character, the transformation of our habits, of what we do and what we say, the attitudes and perspectives of our hearts, that takes time. So, for our whole life as Christians, the Holy Spirit is helping us to look more like the new creation that we are. And notice that it's the Holy Spirit who initiates this process. Sometimes we mistakenly think that we grow because of how hard we try, but that's not Christianity. We grow because we yield to the Spirit's work in us. Our value of growing helps me to live life with an awareness that the Spirit is always drawing me into something new. It helps me to expect that I will face challenges in my life that are hard for me, that faithfulness to Jesus will often mean facing something new. It might mean trying something new. It might mean faithfully walking through something really hard. It might involve letting something go, either something tangible, physical, or intangible, like my anger or pride. Whatever it is, it might be exciting and invigorating, or it might be uncomfortable, painful, or scary. But we have to begin to let go of the old and let our creation self be birthed in us. I find it incredibly valuable to be in a faith community where we are growing together towards Jesus, because I find that when faced with something new, my first response is not always positive. Often my first response is not, oh, how wonderful, Jesus, a chance to grow. It's more of something like, oh, I'm done growing. I feel tired. I need your lives to encourage and remind me that when the Holy Spirit is drawing me into something new, He's drawing me into life, abundant life. He's drawing me into the adventure of following Jesus, the adventure of becoming more like Jesus, of seeing His goodness poured out to others through me. Your lives remind me of that and lift me up when all I can see is the hard of it all. Because when you see growth in action, it's inspiring. This past weekend, a dear person in our community left for Costa Rica for a month-long ministry trip, something that Jesus has been building in her heart for years and years. This year, a group of men have been walking through the Zoe course and have been sensing the Spirit leading them into new things. Those guys are being brave and responding to the Spirit's leading in their lives. And today, four young women who are a part of our youth group are being baptized. How encouraging is that? These women are responding to the call to be baptized that Jesus makes for every believer. This is not an act that saves a person, but it is a person's public declaration that they have been saved. And it is a public declaration that they are a new creation. As each of them is lowered into the water and then raised up, we remember two realities of following Jesus. That when we follow Jesus, we follow where He has led, into death. We die to our old self and are reborn, like Jesus, into resurrection life. We are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And it also represents the cleansing that we receive in Jesus. Baptism is a picture of God's grace, that in Jesus our sins are washed away. What's happening today? As these four teens are baptized in front of their families, their friends, their youth group, is a beautiful picture of how a new creation community values growing. Because this decision to be baptized is, of course, deeply personal. It's an individual choice that these young women have made. But I'm sure that if you asked them, they would tell you that what helped bring them to this place of commitment to Jesus, love for Jesus, was their community. Being a community that is becoming like Jesus together makes us brave. That's why Jesus gave us each other. He never meant for us to live this life of faith alone. So, we are a new creation. The old is gone and the new is come. Or, as Luke said last week, we are what he has made us and he is not finished yet. As we close, I'd like to leave two final thoughts with you. The first, I would love to invite you to see our community as a place where we are all practicing together being a new creation, rather than a place where people all have it together. We know that's not true. This is meant to be a messy place, a gracious place, where we can have the freedom to grow together towards Jesus, where we can risk, where we can cheer one another on. That's the kind of community that I want to be a part of, the kind of place where new creation life happens, springs up. Second, I would love to encourage you to ask Jesus to show you what newness of being a new creation he is wanting to bring about in your life. We can over time become deaf to the newness of being a new creation. We can assume that we know what it means to follow Jesus, that we have it all figured out. But I think that oftentimes we need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us eyes to see and ears to hear, so that we can, like those babies we talked about earlier, see and hear the newness that Jesus has for us, as if it were the first time. Let me pray those two things for you as we close. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of community. We thank you for the incredible gift of your resurrection life and how it is making us new. It has given us a new identity and it is giving us a new sense of who we are and a new character. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would give us the courage to practice with one another, being that new creation life. Lord Jesus, we need a place where we can be messy, where we can try things and mess up, where we can be honest about what it means to let your resurrection life permeate us and invite us into newness. Lord Jesus, would you help this to be a safe place for us to practice? And Lord, we confess that sometimes we become deaf to the newness that you are inviting us into. Would you speak to us? Would you give us ears that can hear in a new way? Would you give us eyes that see as you see? Would you lead us and guide us this spring into all of the resurrection life that you have for us? We love you, Jesus. Help us to yield to the voice of your Holy Spirit. Help us to follow you where you would lead us, Lord Jesus. And we pray all of these things in your name. Amen. I hope you have a wonderful week. God bless you and we love you. We'll see you soon.